StartupRad.io, your podcast and YouTube blog covering the German startup scene with news, interviews, and live events.
Hello and welcome, everybody. This is Joe from StartupRate.io, your startup podcast and YouTube blog from Germany, as well as the founder and host of the world's first internet radio station dedicated to startups, technology, and tech entrepreneurship called Startup.Radio. Today, I do have Johannes here. Hey, how you doing?
Hey, good day. Great to be here.
Totally my pleasure. We will introduce you pretty soon, but basically what you guys are doing with your startup Solytic from Berlin is enable the small solar investor to play along with the big guys. But before we get into that, let's talk a little bit about you and what you're doing. I do believe you're pretty classical German since you studied engineering, right?
Yes, exactly. I did a very traditional path in the beginning after school, going to university, studying mechanical engineering back in the days on masters. I'm also starting my career in corporate in production close. So a very traditional career in the beginning. Absolutely, yes.
Yeah, I've seen you even stop by in a university in Chile in South America. How's your Spanish?
Así, así.
Así, así. I would say muy mal for me.
That's true. Yeah. At the end of my studies, I wanted to experience other countries as well. And I've been actually in high school in the US before. And then during my university time, I spent half a year in Chile and traveled the country. That was very exciting.
Yeah. And you also did a stint in London at Imperial College.
That is true. That was during my MBA, which I did at ESADA. So I should speak better Spanish, in fact, because I've spent another year in Spain. But those are the universities I checked.
And what I found interesting, you started, like you said, very traditional with the big guys, with Airbus. You've always been fascinated by flying?
By airplanes. The physics behind it, the technology, it's a very fascinating thing. I love looking at the stars. So it's quite a fascination for me ever since. And I was working also during in basic research, fundamental research during my university time that was already in aeronautics. So that's why I went for my diploma thesis and my final internship to Airbus in Hamburg. Yeah. Building the mm-hmm. A380.
So you checked all the important places like Berlin, Hamburg, Chile, the US, London, and so on and so forth.
Munich, Barcelona, yeah, a couple of cities.
What's your favorite breakfast from all those places?
That's a good question. Sadly, I don't eat breakfast most of the days, but I really enjoy pancakes. I really enjoy a good bagel with cream cheese.
Oh, yeah, a cream cheese and salmon, everything bagel, pumpernickel bagel. Oh, pumpernickel bagel. Oh, I love that. Plus, it's not per se a breakfast, but when I was in Spain, I love churros con chocolate. And basically, to get your story away from food, say interesting stuff. Then you've been a project engineer. You attended an MBA, and it looks like then there was a break because then you were entrepreneur in residence. What happened there? Did you decide, well, I'm now doing an MBA and not necessarily engineering projects anymore, but more a little bit on the business side? What was like your rationale and why did you do it?
And that's a fair point. It can look, or you can interpret it as a break, but I would say it's actually a straight line. So when I was studying and afterwards working, I always did some side projects. I've always been a little bit entrepreneurial all along the way. I have a lot of friends in entrepreneurship who founded their own companies. One of them also, like my sister, founded her own company. So back to the food part, but it's been part of my life ever since. And the focus I had during my professional career at class back then was also in supply chain management, shop floor management, a lot about processes, automation, robotics, IoT, data. And during my MBA, I had a project with a classmate from India where we looked into the case of prosumers and smart microgrids and what you can do with it, what digital technology can leverage in this environment. That was back in 2016. So cloud computing was not as powerful as it is today. And the whole topic was quite fresh. So we did this project on a very high level. And at the end of my MBA, I met an environment between a corporate and a company builder that was looking into this field as well. And a central component was photovoltaics, a topic I touched during my time at class, where I met a lot of colleagues who were investing in solar. I saw how rough this whole market still is, how inefficient, how many processes are still super manual. And at the same time, the great potential of photovoltaics to really make a change for us, helping us to get to renewable energies in a sustainable way. And all these components together, well, ended up in me founding a company.
And we may add here that you're not necessarily referring to like the big solar installations, which spend square miles on square miles. But at True. This time in Germany, it was more like you put solar panels on your roof. And you put a solar heater for your water on your roof and stuff like that. So it's not like one big area, but like many, many, many house roofs with solar thermal. Is it the right term? Solar thermal?
That is, yeah. Stuff? Solar thermal is the second technology, which we are actually not focusing on right now. We are going for photovoltaics. So talking about the electricity. But exactly as you say, we're talking about here about the residentials. So small installations on rooftops. And at the same time, those are private investors. You know, they buy a very expensive asset, put it on the rooftop, and then it's very difficult to maintain. And I just experienced this with my colleagues, and that kind of triggered me. So doing this project during me.
Now that we're talking about like the real stuff, basically you can imagine there's a roof. There is like usually somewhere 10 to 20, maybe 30% is covered with solar panels. And it's actually, you see it, it's a little bit black, but there's a lot that can happen there. For example, have hail in mind, thunderstorms. Can you spill a few stories of what you and your colleagues, like in the early days, experienced there, like finding dead rats underneath it or cables been torn apart by the dog or something?
Oh, back then, that was still very fresh. You know, that was in 2011, 2012. Those were the first boom years in Germany where the solar market globally had its first peak. So everybody was new into the business. Of course, some people were working on this for 10 years or so, but it was super immature, everything. So it was more about, hey, I have a solar rooftop now and it's producing data. What can I do with it? They tried to understand the technology in first place and there were no answers anywhere. They learned along the way by doing that they could improve the performance of their assets if they actually look at the data and go into sparring with their colleagues, which are electricians or electric engineers, and better understanding the technology helped them to get more electricity out of the systems because of sometimes it's just how the panels are sorted on the rooftop, and it's about proper maintenance. You know, the area where I worked was in not just in suburbs. It was actually in the outback. I always call it the German outback because it's like half an hour to
we
the next autobahn.
We have an outback in Germany.
it actually is because you need like 30 minutes to the next autobahn, and that is quite far away. There you have a lot of agriculture, and agriculture creates dust. Agriculture creates a lot of dirt, and that creates soiling or causes soiling, and those were issues they had on a frequent basis. So a lot of small tiny details,
like basically something covers the solar panels, whatever it is from like the trees, the leaves, the dust, the whatever gets thrown up in the air while like harvesting wheat or something.
Yeah, exactly.
All that stuff. So basically coverage. Exactly.
Exactly. No, so if you,
no,
if
like no funny story, like from animals or something going crazy, no, there.
It doesn't. Sorry, it's not that crazy, but it's more about the day to day inefficiencies that were just triggering my interest simply because I was working on a daily basis in a corporate on process efficiency, operational excellence, and then having this heavy contrast right next to it, that was just creating some curiosity on my side.
Can we say this inefficiency just smacked you in the face?
Yes.
Yes. And basically that was like the whack you gotten to start the company. Maybe before we get into Solytic, may we take a little bit detour in the food part again, like the other company of your sister?
Sure.
Well, okay, basically when you have a sister and she starts a company and you have some knowledge, there's basically no way around this. So you got trapped into it, right?
It's given, yes, I guess so.
Yeah. Can you tell us just a tiny bit about that? So your sister's happy as well. We link, of course, your LinkedIn profile down here in the show notes and people can start doing their research there.
Sure. Well, you know, the reason for that is basically, although the context of this entire thing is sustainability. We as humanity need to change and we have to rethink how we do things. So, as a consumer, one of the biggest angles that you actually can take and the biggest leverage you can use is, reducing your meat consumption. And there is in many big cities like London, where she founded her company, there's a huge variety and great chefs which take a lot of passion in creating amazing food that is actually sustainable or more sustainable than the very meat heavy diet. And around this topic, she just wanted to give access to everyone to this diversified cuisine. And that was basically the trigger why she wanted, like, that was the angle she was trying to push for sustainability. Well, now I'm the engineer, so coming from operations, I helped her on the operational side a little bit, tried to be a sparing partner and advisor when it came to operational topics. She was the expert for the other topics. But of course, then my angle was more on the engineering part. So I went for electricity and photovoltaics nonetheless. But it's been a great time there, also supporting a little bit and staying with it, sticking with it. She just published a book, so sharing all the learnings they had. And I think it's a really nice way to improve also, you know, your personal footprint.
Yeah, actually, I started like 2 years ago. I started 2 days a week completely skipping meat, one day completely vegetarian, and one day actually tending to seafood and fish and stuff like this. Not necessarily because I want to protect the environment, because I realize it makes me feel better. And I do have a tendency to love dishes with shrimp and also very incredibly spicy tofu.
There you go.
Now we got the food out of the way. Yeah. Guys, if you want to have a snack, put on the brakes. We'll be back with you. You got a snack? Awesome. Let's go again. Let's talk about Solytic. How many founders are there? How did you start the company? And basically, where did you conceive the idea, what you guys are actually doing? Because I do assume your business idea is not like having people crawl over PV installations on roofs and just brushing off the dust, right? That's not
exactly
how it works.
No, we are a software focused company. We do software only, and that differentiates us from basically from everyone in the market. It also, another differentiator is how we go into the market and what we provide. But to your question, so how did we start? We have a very very interesting roller coaster story, in fact, because I started. So my personal story starts with this ideation during my MBA time. We merged in 2019 with another startup, which it was founded by two passionate solar pioneers. They were in solar 10 years before already, and they, out of their daily business, they thought of how they could improve their daily business basically with smarter software solutions, and they founded a company Which was very similar in the vision to ours. So we decided in 2018 already, like 1 year after we founded Zoolutic, we decided, hey, we should join forces. We have complementary skills, complementary experiences. We can do this together much better than we could do individually. And rather, instead of competing against each other, let's join forces and do this together and actually have an impact. So then fourth founder and fifth founder, we actually had, over the course of our 4 year history, we have actually five founders, and now we're down to four. This is just an amazing ride, of course, just building this business with so many parties involved, bringing their experience in.
So basically you merge with another company. And now let's talk a little bit about nitty-gritty details, operational excellence. As you've been saying, what you guys are actually providing, because our understanding is right now they're small to very small solar installations, mostly on rooftops of people, and there's your software. And how does this work together, and how does it help the people who own, like, the PV installations?
Yes, exactly. So we are focusing on the, how we call it, decentralized market, meaning not the big utility professionals that have big control rooms with a lot of computers and electric engineers working professionally with this technology. As you pointed out in the beginning, also these huge parks of solar. We are focusing on everything else. And that's, in fact, 99% of the customer's market. So 99% of all systems are in this decentralized environment, and they have been basically neglected by solutions in the past. What we do now is we take the data that is produced by these systems automatically anyway. So you have different components and they create data. This data we're taking in, putting in our cloud, putting some algorithms on top, and analyzing on performance, on efficiency, on the performance ratio based on benchmarks. So we give insight, and that's basically the special sauce we're adding here to the dull monitoring that typically is used in this environment. So the idea is that non-professionals, even non-professionals, can optimize their solar system based on actionable insights that we are providing. But now the one special thing we're doing also on top of that is that typically a private asset owner, so a residential homeowner who decided to buy photovoltaics, is not an electric engineer and they are not solar professionals. So if we would tell them, hey, you have to replace your inverter because it has downtime in the morning and you're losing actually electricity, and you would have a return on invest that is very attractive if you would invest now into a new inverter. So what does the residential do now? Well, search for potential support. So that's still not helping. So this is the last thing that we are adding as well to this entire end-to-end solution. We want to provide an end-to-end solution that is really easy for everyone. So providing this service as well, not just telling someone you have some inefficiency, no, but actually solving it.
Mm-hmm. So basically, you also help in this case, in this example, the owner to get an inverter?
Yeah, we have a marketplace connected to the monitoring where you can purchase this right away, where you have suppliers like close to you in a proximity so they can replace it and you can contract them right away.
I do have an idea right now. You're also making a little bit of money on this marketplace, right?
Yes.
Yes. Talking about the software here, how can we imagine it? Would you like really need to install something or just open a data feed? Is it like once you have your analytics tool running like once and you pay once? Is it a monthly subscription, or does it make sense like to pick it up like every 2 years again?
It's a subscription, exactly. So it's a SaaS model. You connect your asset to the cloud and then you feed the data continuously. You get the monitoring continuously, the analytics continuously, and it's a regular subscription fee. But one thing that is really important to mention in this context is that we are working B2B. So we are not working with a residential directly, but we are working with those who are typically servicing these customers, and especially in the little bit larger scale commercial industrial. So those are companies, they have on their production halls or whatever larger rooftops, they have some installations. So our customers are actually those who are servicing these customers, and we are just orchestrating the entire dynamics within then the decentralized environment.
Mm-hmm. I see. Basically, you don't need to find like the retail clients. You only need to talk to like a handful of companies running those, like the big guys running those solar installations. That also means you don't need to adhere to any physical regulations, and you're basically already a global company. Is that right? And
that is correct.
If yes, where are you guys like really actually operating? Don't get me wrong. Totally see that somebody in South Africa can just buy a software and it would work as well there as in other countries. But I do believe you have some focus markets, right?
Absolutely. No, you're absolutely right. So just to give you a little bit of a more tangible picture about these dynamics and the scale. So we have around 200 customers at this point. And behind these 200 customers are almost 200,000 photovoltaic systems. So that's basically the average ratio, and some are bigger than others. The direct sales, so our B2B connections are typically in Central Europe. So mostly in Germany or German speaking countries. We have a few then in the close by countries. We're expanding quite organically, but we're pushing only for the German market so far. Nonetheless, we also have large customers overseas. So in Mexico, in Canada, we have one in Japan. So that's the beauty of software. Because we're software only, it's easy to expand. And the assets are actually located in 60 different countries, or more than 60 countries. But yes, correct. We are operating mostly in the German-speaking market. And the marketplace has to be super localized. So you need this network of service providers. So that's only in Germany so far.
Mm-hmm. I see. And if you have important customers in Mexico, your Spanish should be, of course, much, much better. Sorry, skip that part.
Tuesday. We should have Taco Tuesday for sure.
That sounds pretty good. According to Crunchbase, you closed a funding round in 2020, early 2020. That means you're not bootstrapped. You're externally funded. What is your status right here? Because I'm very sure there are some investors out there who are by now already hungry and think, yeah, that's an interesting SaaS idea playing in solar energy. When are you guys intending to raise another VC round?
So we're actually in the process of another round at this point. So you're absolutely right. We're not bootstrapped. We started already with a lot of power. So we initially founded the company in 2017 and raised the first venture capital in December 2017 already from Vattenfall. So mm-hmm. starting with the energy experts and market leaders gave us a lot of leverage, of course, going into the market and also talking to larger potential customers. Now in 2020, we onboarded another heavyweight, EWE. It's a big German utility and communications company, which is very customer focused and gives us a great leverage when it comes to these decentralized market environments. We recently also agree, it's not official yet, but we have onboarded another investor, now again, international investor. But we are raising right now. We are in the process of raising further funds. We have built a lot of technology and have reached a quite good market penetration that gives us a lot of leverage for monetization. But now we have to build these features as well, and we want to optimize the marketplace and so forth. So this cannot be built organically. So we are looking for more venture capital. We are open for new investors as well, and we intend to close this round by end of Q1, so in March. Early April.
Mm-hmm. According to Crunchbase, you've raised something like $7.3 million. What is like the size you're looking for? I would assume it's a Series A or Series B right now, right?
Yeah, it depends on which standard you look at. We called the last one Series A, and it makes a lot of sense to call this one Series B, based on the maturity of our product and the market penetration we have already achieved.
Hey, so I cannot argue. Yeah, after A comes B, totally fine. Yeah,
and that's also a very, you know, very logical approach to take. We raised a little bit more money than is maintained in Crunchbase, and we intend to double this now. So we're looking for 15 million euros in total for the next 2 years.
Mm-hmm. I see. And you're basically going to expand your local footprint. What you've been talking about, like not only selling the software, but also the marketplace. From my understanding, that's a lot of work to actually find all the people that provide the supply side, like the products, like the services locally for yes. you, for the clients of your clients.
Exactly. Yeah. Well, we have, you know, this market penetration that we have built is already good enough to, like more than good enough, in fact, to optimize the analytics and optimize the marketplace. We're talking like when it comes to data, we're talking about more than 30 terabytes that we have on hand that we can leverage for these, time series analysis, anomaly detection, and a lot of good stuff that is coming the way of our customers. But now we want to build up the team, especially for the analytics and the marketplace, to get this really into a very smooth user experience as well. We have already a couple of categories like cleaning, then the one you touched as well before, that we can cover entire Germany. So we made a good progress there still. But there are more than 30 categories of services and products that we have identified, and they need to be served, and customers need this. And therefore, yeah, time to grow.
I see. When you've been talking about the lot of data you have there, is this like also of interest for potential clients? Because I would assume it's nothing like you have readily available somewhere, if you're interested, like in photovoltaic, in terms of having this for energy providers, having this for analysts, as well as for the government.
So we are in talks with a couple of the grid management providers. They, of course, they are interested in intelligence about the production and so forth. But we're not selling raw data, so we're not a data trader. If we sell something, we sell insights, and we add value on this data. Something that is really important to us is the data, the raw data itself, belongs to the customers. They own their data, so we cannot resell their data. But what we can do is interpret the data, analyze the data, build up this insight, and that insight is our IP. So with this, we of course leverage a little bit, that is also something we really want to give back to the customers themselves by telling them what they might be able to do to improve the performance of their individual portfolio or photovoltaic system.
Really interesting. Just a last question I would have for you. Are you currently hiring?
We are hiring, yes. We just onboarded 4 new colleagues this week. We have 3 others coming in this month. We are looking for support in the data engineering. We also want to grow a little bit our sales and marketing team. So there are open spaces, open seats to fill.
Also for Spanish speakers.
Also for Spanish speakers, yeah. The Spanish market is booming, not just in Europe and in South America. So, if if someone is out there,
feel free to reach out. Everybody who'd like to learn more, down here in the show notes, as we said, there will be your private LinkedIn profile as well as your company website. And only thing left for me to say is best of luck. Let us know when you close your Series B round, and hope to have you back in some time.
Perfect, Joe. Thank you very much for your time. It was great being here.
My pleasure. Thank you. Bye-bye.
Bye. Have a good one.
That's all, folks. Find more news, streams, events, and interviews at www.startuprad.io. Remember, sharing is caring.